Number 5 in Class 9A rolled to a 54-0 shutout win over Del Rapids St. Mary. St. Mary was ranked number 5 in Class 9B. Redfield picked up a win last night as well. They defeated Aberdeen Roncalli 40-26. Some other scores, 11AA and A were matched up in cross-division games. That was Huron and Milbank, for instance. Mitchell defeated Sioux Falls Christian 33-20. Brookings shut out Lennox 37-0. Yankton pounded Dakota Valley 51-15. St. Thomas More shut out Sturgis 16-0. Pier 24, West Central 14. Douglas, who comes to Huron next week, scored 40 unanswered points in the second half, defeated Belle Fouche 47-21, and Custer shut out Spearfish 40-0. In 11 AAA last night, Aberdeen 35, Rapid City Central 7, Brandon Valley 20, O'Gorman 14, Harrisburg defeated Washington 35-17, Watertown 30, Rapid City Stevens 7. Three games were postponed or canceled last night due to COVID issues. That included Wolsey Wessington visiting Bonham. They called that off, I think, late Thursday night, although we did not learn of it till yesterday morning. The two teams do have a common open date at the end of the season. We'll see if they do reschedule it. Castlewood at Coleman Egan, that had been postponed on Thursday. They'll play that in 2 weeks, and Ipswich Edmund Central at Duel had to postpone. In fact, it looks like that game will be flat out canceled, and the two teams lose a game. Volleyball, Aberdeen Christian shut out Sunshine Bible 3-0. That's what we have for results from last night. Look at the schedule for today. It is a little quieter, although there is some activity. You're on Tiger Girls Tennis hosting a quadrangular with Mitchell, Aberdeen, and Brandon Valley coming to town. Cheer and dance teams from Huron are at the Pier Invitational today. Soccer, James Valley Christian is at St. Thomas More today. One other note on the schedule, Andy's Road Race was scheduled today, always a tradition during the South Dakota State Fair, but that was canceled some time ago due to COVID, so that's the rundown of the schedule for today. Minnesota Twins played a doubleheader yesterday, unique in a way. It was at Target Field, but in the second game, Detroit was actually the home team as they were making up a game that was rained out last weekend in Detroit. Twins, though, picked up a shutout in the first game and had a nice comeback to take the second game as well and earned the sweep. With the recap, here's Corey Provis.
Twins and the Tigers playing two games at Target Field. The Twins winning game 1-2, but for the nightcap, a makeup from a rained-out game last week. The Twins served as the visiting team for the second game of this doubleheader. But could they make it 4 straight wins? It was going to be a bullpen matchup, and that has fared okay, especially with the guy on the mound. Matt Whistler has done a really good job in that role. Fourth time he's been given that opening role, and Whistler was really good again. He went 2 scoreless innings. The Twins, though, they did score a run in the third on a Brett Rooker, RBI single. Rooker making his big league debut in game 1, was on base a couple of times, but did not have that first hit, but he got that hit. His second at bat in game 2, it was a 2-out RBI single, and the Twins had a 1-0 lead. But after Whistler, then Sean Poppin came in, and the Tigers made some noise. 3 straight 2-out hits led to 2 Tiger runs, and it was a 2-1 game. Same score now into the 7th inning, and that was going to be the final inning. A doubleheader, you just go 7 innings, and the Twins were down by 1, but they rallied with lefty Gregory Soto on the mound. He issued back-to-back walks to Eddie Adrianza and pinch-hitting Josh Donaldson. And then Jorge Polanco had a 4-hit day, tied things up with a single to right center, and it was 2-2. You thought the Twins were going to put up a big number. They'd first and third, nobody out, 2-2. But then Sano struck out, Cruz struck out, and pinch-hitting Astudillo lined out to end it right there. But the Tigers did not score in their half of the seventh, so we went on to the eighth inning, and you place a runner at second base. Joe Jimenez came in. Williams Astudillo, by the way, was the runner. Andy Rosario swung first pitch, flied out. Marwin Gonzalez swung first pitch, but the good news was he did not fly out. And the pitcher ground ball up the middle towards center field and through. Astudillo's going to round third. It's bobbled by Hill in center. Marwin digging for second to throw. The tag and the ball is dropped by Scope, and the Twins take a 3-2 lead. Astudillo's got a ponytail now. The helmet's sitting on the grass between the third base line of the Tiger dugout, and the ponytail looked pretty coming around, and the Twins take a one-run lead here in the eighth inning.
And Marwin snapped an 0-for-16 with a base hit back in the sixth and now drives in a run, a clutch run-scoring hit in the eighth inning. The Twins take a 3-2 lead. Trevor May came in, bottom eight, and struck out the side. Cabrera, Candelario, and Castro to lock down his second save. And the Twins indeed win the game 3-2, sweeping the doubleheader. The offense hasn't been there against this Tiger team, a team that has among the higher ERAs in all of baseball, but the Twins have really struggled to score against Detroit as they score really a season-high 3 runs against this Tiger team so far through 5 games. But that third run was the difference, and the Twins sweep the doubleheader, winning game 1-2-0, and the nightcap 3-2. From Target Field, Corey Provis on your home for Twins baseball.
Twins and Tigers will play a single game today, then tomorrow and Monday, Labor Day afternoon. And I think their schedule is back on focus here now after all the schedule changes they made heading into last weekend. Tonight, 5:30 pregame, 6:10 first pitch for Twins baseball here on KOKK. Dakota Sports Saturday today, and coming up, we'll be talking with head volleyball coach here on Tigers, Shelly Budnagan. Will also be talking with head football coach Scott Spanton as well, and that will be coming up at about 8:15 this morning. Dakota Sports Saturday here on KOKK. That's a look at the sports. I'm Jeff Duffy reporting.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You've got Dakota Sports.
We are back on Dakota Sports Saturday. Talk some Hitchcock Tuler football. Their head coach, Clint Nelson. Hitchcock Tuler dropped to 0-3 last night with a tough 14-12 loss to the Northwestern Wildcats. Game went back and forth. Both teams were able to have leads at different points, but 1 2-point conversion was the difference. And coach, I guess one thing that we've seen here offensively, just haven't been able to put a lot of points up, maybe a little bit on the opening night against Fulton, but offensively just still a work in progress.
Yeah, we didn't execute on offense. I thought our defense had some good stops when they needed to. You know, I give credit to my boys. They played really, really hard, and so.
Well, from what I gather, it sounds like things are close there on offense. You know, just a play here, an extra step there, something like that, and things could turn around for you. You know, and just get a few more points on the board, and that could equal maybe a W or two.
Yeah, you know, a lot of our problems that we've had for our first couple games is we've missed out on key opportunities. And as you said there, Matt, about the deep balls on the field, you know, you have a drop pass here, a missed block here, you know, maybe a run a wrong route. I mean, these are kids. They're student athletes, and, you know, we make mistakes just like adults. They're all fixable. But, you know, those types of plays, a few catches, big catches down the field, a few more blocks, you know, the score of the game could be completely different at the end.
Well, 3 games into the season here, talk about where you're at here right now. I know you come in with a philosophy, and usually in high school, your philosophy kind of matches the talent at hand. Where are you at here as this team tries to develop? Hard to believe, but we are just about to the middle point of the season here coming up.
Well, you always try to make your team better. When we played Wolsey, we kind of went away from our standard base offense, trying to match personnel wise. So that had a little outcome on our game. You know, I like to ground and pound the ball. So that's our mentality, is to go back and try to, you know, run the football, set up some play action, and play physical on the offensive line. But, you know, you always are tweaking your plays. You keep the ones you know that will get you some yards, and the ones that are not working as well, you get rid of those.
In three games in, I suppose you're also kind of seeing, well, where we thought this kid would work, maybe we switch him over here, it works better, bring this kid in, that might give us a spark, that sort of thing?
We are. I got a kid that's getting to play on offense. The first 2 weeks, he only got to play defense because we're kind of resting him. He came back from knee surgery last year. We're just moving some players around, and I'm just trying to put my best athletes, and I have a lot of speed, so I'm trying to get them in open space and put them in positions where they have an opportunity to make a play for us, either offensively or defensively. So, you know, the roster's set in stone. I don't think a roster's ever set in stone. You know, anybody can have a bad game, or there could be a mismatch, and as a coach, you gotta identify those things and make those changes.
And finally, you know, with the situation we've had this year, you look back a week, you look back 2 weeks, you look back a month, you look back 4 months. I don't know if everybody thought that we would actually be here today, but here you are, three games deep into the season. You're 0-3, but yet it's fun. You get to play.
You said it. They love football. I love coaching them. Great group of young men, and we're doing everything at Hitchcock-Dulaire to practice social distancing and COVID policies to ensure that we get another game every week, because, you know, there's not a lot of things better than Friday nights in South Dakota. So,
Clint Nelson, head coach, Hitchcock-Dulaire Patriots. Tough loss, 14-12 against Northwestern last night. One other note, lights did go out, or about half the lights went out for a while in the third quarter, so the game did get stopped, but they got everything back on and did finish the game. Hitchcock-Dulaire at 0-3 on the season. They have their bye week coming up next Friday before resuming the rest of the season. Time out here. We'll talk more football here on Tiger. Coach Scott Spanton coming up next on Dakota Sports.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Morning, everyone. KOKK. We're back here on Breakfast with the Coaches, or Dakota Sports Saturday. We're talking with Shelley Budnick, and head coach here on Tiger Volleyball. Tigers hit the road for the first two times this season, a win Tuesday at Brookings, then a four-set loss to Watertown on a Thursday. And Shelley, you know, Brookings, a little bit of a slow start, but the girls took control in the third set, got the sweep. Watertown, they graduated almost everybody, but they're still flat-out good.
Well, we knew they were going to be good. I mean, we watched their JV team last year, and we knew that they had the pieces and the parts to fit in and be really good, and they really are. We knew that going in, and we felt like we were going to have a really good match, and we were looking forward to that, too. So a lot of good things happened for the Tigers, but we just couldn't hang on, and we've got a lot of things that were exposed, and we're going to have to fix those. And the good thing is those are fixable, and sometimes a loss early isn't that bad. I mean, it hurts, and it was disappointing because we felt like in a lot of ways we should have won that match, but now we're going to have to take those things that we learned and keep moving forward.
Well, as you look at things, I guess, first off, Brookings Tuesday, we did win the first two sets, but, you know, it was a struggle. You know, Brookings is better than they were last year, where they really struggled last year, but, you know, they're starting to come around again in the second year of that coach, and, you know, they got themselves some momentum at times, but again, I felt our girls held together those first two sets, made plays when they needed to win, then third set just took control of it.
Well, right now, I don't know what it is, but we're a team of a lot of errors, a lot of unforced errors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even against Watertown, we make a dig, we get the set up there, we've got no blockers. When we run our offense, basically it's intended for us to be able to get one-on-one or zero blockers at the net because of our size. We just can't blast the ball through people. We don't have that kind of power, and so the offense is designed to get one-on-one or zero blockers, and we got those situations, and we would either hit it in the net, or we would hit it out of bounds, or we would clip the net so that the net actually acted like a blocker, and we just were playing clean volleyball. Again, it's early, and we're playing a high-risk offense, and those kind of things are going to happen, but still, we've got experience where I just haven't expected these kind of errors. You know, you're gonna have errors. It's volleyball, especially early on, but those kind of things, I guess, are just shooting us right in the foot where, again, you know, you've got an open net or you've got one-on-one blocker, and a couple times in Watertown we hit right into the single blocker when the blocker was moving, and just we're not real court savvy, I guess, yet, where we just couldn't continue to throttle, you know, put the throttle down and get the job done. But those things, I think, are fixable or, you know, are hitting. I thought McKenna had a real good night.
That's about the hardest I've seen her hit, and she's, you know, fourth year as a starter now.
Yeah, and so she was up and delivering the ball, and it hit a really good percentage, too. You know, she was hitting around the 200s, which is what we need, and, you know, and so with just a lot of unforced errors, Jeff, and we're just going to have to clean it up. And in that first set, I thought we did a pretty good job, but Watertown also got us out of system. And we were scrambling quite a bit, and our auto system just couldn't quite match their auto system offense.
You know, and go back to Brookings, as I said, you know, we were kind of sluggish at the beginning. I had a few issues on the ride over there, no air conditioning on, what, an 80-some degree day. But, you know, and the girls just, you know, just seemed to be a little discombobulated, pull out a bad term. But, you know, again, they found a way in the first two sets and then finally found the groove in the third set.
Yeah, things weren't just not feeling well, and we're still working on chemistry and all that kind of stuff. And I don't know how to put a finger on it. If I could, we could certainly get it fixed. But the chemistry, the energy, it just felt weird. Everything felt weird. I don't know if it's because you're looking around and everyone's wearing masks and the crowd is wearing masks. I don't know how to explain it. It's just felt weird. And again, you have these opportunities, and it's a continual miss after miss, hitting things out of bounds. Not nailing the passes to the setter, so we're so far out of offense. And I would say probably in Brookings, we were in system maybe 35% of the time. That's not a good rate.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not a good rate. And when you have opportunities, when they send a free ball back or send an easy, which should be an easy dig, we should be nailing those passes up into that setter zone, is where we call it, minimally. In those situations, minimally 80% of the time, and we're not spending 80% of our time in system when we have that good opportunity. That's been disappointing. So it's been putting our setter in a tough situation. It's been putting our hitters in a really tough, brutal situation where they just don't know. I mean, they're expecting something to be in system, and here it isn't. And so our back row, you know, right now, I guess I'm going to be searching for some different answers.
Well, you said before the season started, back row serve, receive, and passing is where we're just inexperienced.
Yeah, we are inexperienced, but yet we should be handling some of the situations differently, whether you're inexperienced or not. I mean, you take a look at a lot of the other teams. They're inexperienced and they haven't been in those situations, and they're nailing those situations, again, where it's a free ball, where it's coming an easy pass for us, or an easy dig. Things that we practice that should just be executed differently, and so we're going to be asking our kids to either step up or find different answers. I don't know what it is, but I'm not saying anything my kids don't know, and they know and they expect out of themselves, and for whatever reason, we're just not executing at the level that we need to in there, and so that our offense can work. And if our offense isn't performing real well, our in-system offense, again, because we're built so that we can get one-on-ones or zero. There was a lot of times in both Brookings and Watertown. Jeff, I don't know if you saw it, but they didn't have a blocker up, and we just weren't able to get the ball down, whether that's our hitters, setter, or passers. We've got to get that stuff fixed, and we don't have a lot of time right now. I mean, this season, everybody's searching for answers. I get that, but we feel like we just aren't performing at our ability right now, and as far as where our schedule is going.
Well, I was just going to say, you said everybody's searching for answers. I don't know, is O'Gorman really searching for answers?
They're not, probably. they're a different beast. They can recruit and they can do a whole lot of things. I mean, they've brought in a middle from Brandon Valley that's playing there now, and their best middle, so ranked 19th. But, and they've had a pretty good summer where those kids were doing a lot of things for Kairos. I mean, I think just about every single one of them were playing for Kairos. So they've got reps under their belts that we don't, and that's fine. But again, I think if we just forget about who we're playing on Tuesday and just go out there and compete as hard as we can and work at the things that we need to, we just got to get better. And I know early on we're thinking, hey, let's not worry about wins or losses. But we really did want to win that match against Watertown. And maybe when you take a look at it, the kids are trying too hard. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. And if we are competing to the point that you're trying too hard, yeah, I'd rather have that. But you can't live like that either, where you're trying too hard. You got to be able at some point to trust in your training and trust in what you're doing in practice and just let it go. I don't know how else to explain it, but those athletes that perform at higher levels know exactly what I'm talking about. And so trying too hard, I love kids that put that effort out there, but at the same time, maybe that might be the issue that we're having too.
Well, a few other notes I want to bring up because I don't think we can do an interview without bringing up something about COVID. You're in the midst of five consecutive road games starting last Tuesday at Brookings. Air conditioning or no air conditioning, travel is different this year. You have seating maps, that sort of thing.
Yep.
Masks on the bus, I believe.
Yep. And, we're just taking all the precautions that you can, and we're asking our kids and parents. If we want our kids to have opportunities like this to play, and we're very grateful for that opportunity, there's certain things that we're going to have to sacrifice, and right now we're trying to keep our circle small. What the CDC is saying is these large events, whether it's weddings or whether it's the state fair or whether maybe even sporting events, we don't know. These large events, you have to play defense at all times.
Mm-hmm.
Our kids were asking, please keep your circle small, make smart decisions, and even a freshman on the bench, for us, they have a responsibility to the seniors that are playing. I mean, because if they get sick, they're on that same bus with us, and bad things can happen as far as that, as far as losing 2 weeks in the season. So this is a tough one, and it is something that you talk about, but when you're looking at those kids in the bus, we're all thinking, are we okay?
Mm-hmm.
Have we done the things that we should be to be okay? And so, yeah, seating charts on the bus, we've got everything on Google Docs now so that any move that any coach makes on our phone, the school can see where these seating charts are, so you're tracing and tracking. And it's weird. It's definitely a lot of work, but, if they told us to run through a brick wall right now or drive the bus through a brick wall, I think we'd all do that so that these kids have a chance to play. But masks on the bus, the eyes, we're looking at each other with these eyes, and it's just weird, Jeff. You just really can't put your guard down. I don't know how to explain it. Maybe I'm being too wide open like that, or too
wide.
Well,
everybody's paranoid right now.
Yeah, and when we play, we're trying not to. Watertown was different. When you walk in and
no masks,
and they had a case in school, and so I guess masks are not fun. I don't even know if masks work. No one really does, really, right?
Mm-hmm.
No one really knows. But we're going to take those precautions. And so it felt kind of weird, but it was certainly really nice to not have to coach with that on. Let me just tell you that.
Yeah.
My voice sounds a little bit better even without having to shout through that thing. So,
Hey, I'll thank you for that mask because that's perfect for play-by-play. that's my play-by-play mask for this year.
Yeah. So anyway, you know, yeah, and we're going to be dealing with it. And again, we've made it through five matches now with everybody healthy, and so I think that just shows a commitment that our whole entire volleyball program, from kids, administrators, coaches, parents, players, have all shown at this program, and I'm so proud of that right now.
And let's go to something a little happier. Cookies.
Yeah. So, again, we've sold 1,437 boxes of cookies. Thank you to the community of Huron and extended community.
Did you really think that was going to happen, considering nobody was going to go door to door? I mean, you always have your goal, and boy, to get that many boxes, you have to be.
I'm really proud of that. And, again, you know, is it just trying to make money? No, it's not. We're trying to teach our kids certain things, but we do appreciate all the support. I mean, it's just things like we were able to buy two face masks for kids. And then we were able to share some of the face masks, like with you, and, you know, so forth. And some of our loyal fans, you know, I got to go give a mask to Harvey Hamrick. You know, I played against his daughter Penny. Haven is his, you know, Haven and Hampton are grandkids. He's been in the stands. I've watched and known Harvey since 1980, so it was really cool for me to be able to hand him a face mask. So we appreciate that, and just other opportunities our kids have. You know, it's just a different season, and so, like, feeding the kids in the bus is going to be entirely different. You know, so sharing some of that money, the cookie money, and feeding kids. I mean, it's just, again, thank you for that, and you're making a time for these kids really special when it could be really awful.
And you should have deliveries on the 9th, you said?
Yeah, I think the truck is supposed to come in the 9th. Again, this is COVID.
Yeah.
Right? And so
shipping is, they do what they can. Yeah, they do what they can.
And so the truck is supposed to arrive in Huron 2 o'clock on the 9th. Of course, we have practice.
Yeah.
And we're not going to miss practice to deliver cookies. But we'll start delivering some cookies after, on the 9th, after practice. We might start, depends on how much we have to work on, start delivering those cookies. But you know, Huron, I think we've talked about this, and I'll be very honest that Tim and I have had opportunities to leave Huron, but there's just something that keeps us in Huron. Tim and I both can't really keep our thumb or put our thumb on it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at how our community supports things that they know that matter, this community knows that kids matter. They just do. You know, even at the Nervy Center, when I'm selling cookies, we really aren't supposed to solicit a whole lot at the Nervy Center, but they know that we're selling cookies. They'll stop and ask me to buy a box of cookies. Now, do you think a lot of people at the Nervy Center want or need cookies? I mean, think about that for a second.
That's not a question for me.
And so, you know, my heart just puffs out when I know that people are just wanting to support kids, and that's just huge. And I think that's one of the things that we have stayed in here on, even though we've had opportunities to leave, just because of that kind of feeling. It's home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're home. And sometimes you don't want to say we're family, because, you know, right, families can be really dysfunctional, right? But I think Huron just feels like we're family. I mean, Huron is family. And I don't want to get too broad into that. But, again, I'm just so grateful for the community of Huron for supporting our cookie drive. Almost 1,500 boxes. We almost did it. And it's so cool, and I want you to know that it does make a difference for these kids.
Shelly Budnick, head coach here on Tiger Volleyball. The Tigers off this weekend and head to top-ranked O'Gorman Tuesday, 6:40 pre-match over on Tiger 95. More here on Tigers coming up. Next up, we talk football with head coach Scott Spanton on Dakota Sports.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
Dakota Sports is committed to excellence in sports broadcasting.
Good morning, back here on Dakota Sports Saturday. We're talking here on Tiger football. Tigers picked up their first win of the season last night, 30-0, defeating Millbank. Long road trip up to Millbank, but coming out with the W. We're joined by Tiger coach Scott Spanton. And coach, just overall thoughts. First off, pretty much lights out defense last night. I had Milbank, I think, a total of 75 yards in offense. Anytime you can do that, you're going to be successful.
Yes, sir. I thought our coaches all week long, you know, we had some things to work on after the Brookings game, and I thought the coaches and the kids did a really good job during the week as far as focusing on what we needed to do to try to limit them. And again, going down there, playing a big game for us, they were 2-0, so they had everything riding high as far as confidence-wise. So overall, I thought defensively, though, we pursued the ball real well. As you mentioned before, the tackle chart, pretty balanced, getting a lot of kids to the ball, which is big for us. They had a pretty good running back that we limited pretty well, and same with the quarterback. We contained him pretty well because he's dangerous once he gets out of the pocket. So overall, on the defensive side, I thought we did a pretty good job at limiting what we tried to do with, you know, those guys in the backfield, and then make them, you know, put them in second and third long down, you know, situations, and that boded well for us. So overall, I couldn't be more pleased with how the kids responded. Again, we go in at halftime 14-0, and we kind of reminded them that, you know, we were kind of in the same situation last year against them, and so we came out and, you know, did the same thing, stepped up the second half, limited them on all the different aspects of the game, and I thought overall, again, you know, the defense played real well last night.
You know, and offensively, we got those two touchdowns in the first 4 minutes, then I wouldn't say went stagnant, but just had opportunities that we didn't capitalize on, and I guess, you know, it's kind of a good news, bad news thing. Good news, we scored 30 points and left a few points on the field. The bad news is we left a couple of touchdowns on the field.
Right. We, you know, when it's 14-0 and, you know, we're playing well, you know, on both sides of the ball, we're playing pretty well. Obviously, we left a couple out there. I had one called back on a penalty, but defensively a pick six. But overall, offensively, yeah, I thought we did a better job of mixing it up. You know, we had some things going, throwing the ball, obviously, that we wanted to try to take advantage of right away in personnel matchup. And Cade did a nice job hitting Max on that deal. And then protection-wise all night was pretty good. They tried to blitz. You know, sometimes they got to us with a little free safety blitz. But overall, you know, 14-0, you're looking at it and you're going, all right, well, we're kind of stuck on 14. And at that point, it's just like, well, you know, we got to come out the second half and treat it like a 0-0. And I thought the kids did a great job of responding to that and the mentality they had going in the second half. Yes, you know, we would like to have a couple of those close calls as far as connections, but that's going to happen. But I thought they responded well and didn't hang their head and came back and played pretty well. And we got a few, you know, later on in the game to, again, give us a little bit of a cushion. And again, the nice thing about that is get an opportunity to get some of these guys in to practice every day and don't get a lot of playing time. So that was good that they had the opportunity in which to get in and get a little game exposure.
We talked last week a lot about running the ball because we had limited success, I guess, against Brookings. But last night I had both Tyson and Jaden over 90 yards. Tyson had two touchdowns. Jaden had one running out of the Wildcat. And, you know that's the balance you need. In fact, I think Cade only threw the ball four times in the second half.
Yes, you know, that was big going into this game. Obviously, after the Brookings game, we were pretty limited on what we did as far as efficiency running the football. So that was a key point for us to be able to be a little bit more balanced. I thought once we started spreading them out, because they started reducing the numbers in the box, which helped us, obviously, in our run game, gave us some bigger gaps and lanes to run in. And I thought Tyson and Jaden both, along with their offensive line, you got to give them kudos. They opened up some pretty nice holes. And as you mentioned, you know, when you can do that, it gives you an opportunity to, you know, when you get in second, you know, in medium, second and short, because you're running the football, then it's all, you know, the sky's the limit as far as play calling. You get a little more opportunity to mix it up, and I thought we stayed pretty balanced, you know, last night, you know, overall.
And that's what I wanted to get to next is the O-line and the D-line combined, because they are basically the same guys doing both. And I'm trying to remember the last time we had a game where both sides, O-line and D-line, had such a, you know, just had such a great performance both ways. I thought they just controlled it.
Yes, sir. You know, that's big. I mean, for us, we got to, obviously, as you know, it's no secret, we've got guys that play both ways. And I thought last night on both sides of the ball, like you mentioned, defensively, we controlled the line of scrimmage for the most part. The nice thing was, you know, typically in our system, if our linebackers are getting most of the tackles, that's what we want. But last night we had a lot of D linemen getting in on some plays as far as tackles, and also pressures were big, getting some pressure on their quarterback. And So all those things combined, both sides of the ball, both lines played real well last night, and we just got to continue to build on that because we say in our run game, much less our passing game on the offensive side, you know, we go as you guys go. You know, they don't get a lot of the publicity and a lot of notoriety, but again, they're the glue that holds us together up front.
Now, it was a road trip last night to Milbank, your first road trip, and getting on the bus is a whole new world this year.
Yes, it's a little, it's one of those new experiences. You gotta take the precautions. So again, everybody wearing a mask. Obviously, nobody likes it, especially when you're going 2 hours and 20 minutes on the road wearing a mask. And it gets a little discomforting at times. But for the most part, I thought kids, you know, they haven't really made a big issue of it. Obviously, they probably don't like it, much less the coaches. But they're doing a good job with doing the things we need to do to try to stay safe and take precautions on that end of it. Other than that, it's your typical road trip, but just having to don those for the whole time. And then again, in the locker room, same deal. But overall, they've adjusted pretty well.
You know, there's a seat chart too, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. We got a seating chart, and they got to hold to that. And for the tracing, obviously, if something were to happen. So that's a little new as well, you know, standing them outside the bus and sending them in according to where they need to sit. But like I said, you know, at this point, that's kind of the norm for us, you know, as far as what we've been doing all along. So it's not a big adjustment. It's just like you said, first road trip, you're kind of curious how they're going to react to that. But overall, and again, coming home, for the most part, you know, they played so hard and whatnot, they're worn out, so they basically sleep all the way home anyway. So,
and I know I've made more about this than what anybody else has, but you did return to Milbank. I think you said before that was not the field you played on, right?
No, they actually, I don't know what particular year they moved it, but we played, I guess it was on the west side of the school over by the baseball diamond right across the street from that. But other than that, it was nice to go back home. Of course, you don't get an opportunity to look at a whole lot of things because you're focused on the game. But again, I ran into, you know, Danny Snaza, who's the principal there, and he grew up across the street from me. I coached him in teener baseball, and so it was nice to see him again. Other than that, you know, we were going down there, like I told the kids, you know, the other day, we're going on a business trip, so let's take care of our business and enjoy it coming home.
Now we look ahead to next week. I know you're just in the beginning stages of breaking down film and seeing what Douglas brings to the table. They won last night, I believe it was 47-21. They trailed 21-7 against Belle Fouche at halftime, then 40-0 run in the second half, and I guess it appears to me, for the third straight game, we're going to be dealing with a team that is run-oriented.
Right, and that's not uncommon. I mean, most of the teams we play, you know, there's some that are a little bit more balanced, but for the most part, again, you look at these guys, they've got a lot. They played a lot of young kids last year as well. Obviously, they're bigger and stronger this year, some of them up front. They've got the coach's son who's a good-sized kid and another one next to him. So, you know, winning the line of scrimmage again is going to be a big thing as far as a key to the game. They present some issues as far as their size, which, again, we're pretty much, you know, used to because we're going to be outmanned on the size part of it for the most time. But they run the football real well. Quarterback, again, when he's running around back there, he can be dangerous. Plus, he totes the rock in the run game part of it. So you got to prepare for that as far as another hat. Other than that, though, kind of sounds like a broken record because the last couple of weeks we've said the same thing, and that is if we can kind of make them get in second and third and long and make them more one-dimensional, then that helps us as far as our chances.
You know, and realistically, they have scored points, 47 last night. Even the game they lost to Mitchell, they put up 28, so they do score points. They can be explosive.
Yes, sir. Watching that, you know, I had an opportunity to look at the first half of the Mitchell game, and, you know, and they held their own as far as at least in the first half, moving the ball up and down the field. Like I said, the quarterback, you know, makes that thing go. For the most part, we got to be disciplined again, fitting our gaps and watching some of the eye candy they do because they get in a little double slot or a tight slot. And they do some misdirection off of that. And that's caused us some issues, you know, against Brookings. But other than that, you know, if we, again, play like we do last night, obviously, again, we're, a little bit bigger people that we're going across from next week, but for the most part, if we can do what we did last night and play on their side of the line of scrimmage and put a little pressure on the quarterback, then we like our chances.
And just to wrap things up, just a pretty good night last night for here on Tiger football. You get the win by shutout. It looks like you came out of the game relatively healthy, and that's just the key to the entire here on Tiger season now.
Sure, that's huge for us, you know, based upon the numbers that we have and the depth that we have. We got to stay healthy all year the best we can, and of course you're going to have your bruises and bumps, and you know, Cade got a little nicked up last night, so we're going to see how he feels this morning, get some treatment on him. Other than that, we came out pretty healthy. So as long as we can keep doing that and keep him healthy, you know, we feel that if we play like we did at times last night and combine that with the Brookings, you know, in the second half, that we just got to get them to understand that, you know, when we do that, we can be a pretty good football club. And now we just got to get a little more consistency. Our kicking game needs to improve, obviously, some of our coverage units and things of that nature. So we got to put all three phases together, and once we get that clicking, then I think, again, we can match up against anybody that we play.
Scott Spanton, head coach here on Tiger football. Tigers, a 30-0 shutout win over Milbank. Return home next week to Tiger Stadium as the Douglas Patriots come in. That'll be a 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock kickoff on Tiger 95. More coming up, Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
We're gonna win the Twins, we're gonna score. We're gonna win the Twins, watch that baseball score. Crack down a home run, shot and hit the flag. Cheer for the Minnesota Twins today.
Minnesota Twins, Detroit Tigers spending the weekend at Target Field. 5:30 pregame tonight, 6:10 with the first pitch on Dakota Sports.
This is Alex Avila, and you are listening to your home for Twins baseball, KOKK, 1210 AM in Huron.
Good morning. We wrap it up here on Dakota Sports Saturday. A few notes on the Minnesota Twins as they're in the midst of a home series with the Detroit Tigers. Well, kind of home series yesterday. Opened it up with a doubleheader yesterday, making up one of the games they lost last weekend in Detroit. Doubleheaders this year in Major League Baseball always means seven innings instead of nine. Twins came out with the sweep, 2-0 shutout in the first game. Then come from behind, actually did almost play a full regulation game, went eight innings in the second game with the Twins pulling that one out by a score of 3-2. Caleb Thilbar has been a fine. He, of course, pitched for the Twins for a few years, about 3-4 years ago. Had been out of the game, actually was helping coach at Augustana in Sioux Falls. They brought him back in on a roster invite, and well, he has pitched well out of the bullpen. Thilbar talked, he pitched in both games yesterday, and he talked about the fact that the depth of the team is showing in days like yesterday.
We just have depth top to bottom. I mean, it's just, and that's what the mark of a good team is. I mean, we, you know, anyone in the bullpen can go out and throw up a shutdown inning at any time. Anyone can come in, get a big hit. I mean, you just see the resilience of the team, and the depth is such a big factor in baseball, and that's kind of what separates this team.
Major Rocco Baldelli talked about the pitching yesterday, giving up just two runs over 15 innings.
And our pitchers really, too, from beginning to end, really, really got the job done. I mean, we needed excellent outings from a number of guys, and that's exactly what we got. So that was very nice.
Twins did make a roster move yesterday as they had to put right fielder Max Kepler on the injured list, and they called up rookie Brent Rooker. He was a sandwich first-round pick just 3 years ago. He is the first member of the Twins' 2017 draft class to make it to the major leagues. He started in left field in Game 1, right field in Game 2, and, well, had a few different things. He did get his first hit in an RBI in the first game. He also misplayed a fly ball in the second game, but overall, Rocco talked about Rooker's day.
You can see by the types of swings that he has just what he can do, and you know, hit a couple balls really hard, competed well, made good adjustments at the plate. The ball always comes off the bat hot, and you kind of twinge and go, ooh, you know, whether when he hits it good, you do that, and when he just misses one, you do that too. That's certainly a strength of his, and I look forward to seeing him hitting balls hard in the future.
Hopefully there's a few hard hit baseballs today. Twins continue the series with the Tigers. We'll be on the air 5:30 with the pregame this evening. Twins baseball here on KOKK. That'll wrap up this edition of Dakota Sports Saturday. We have